Call this meeting to order. Imperial Beach Town Council and budget session. We have to vote to excuse Mayor Pro Tem Alinsky. Can I have a motion?
I make a motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. We need a vote to cancel the budget session for April 23rd. Do I have a motion?
Make a motion, we cancel the April 23rd budget session.
Have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye. Now, Jody, you're up.
Good morning.
Howdy do.
Thanks for having me this morning. Where y'all want me up? Here?
You can go over there.
Wherever you want.
So good morning, my name's Jody Springer. I was Smith, so I just got married. So I'm here today just to tell you all a little bit about, I think, what the Pleasure Island Teacher Role Project does. We've been receiving funding from the town of Imperial Beach since the late 80s, when our project first was initiated by Susie and Rusty Klontz. And in about, let's see, was it 2002, I believe, or 2003, we officially became a nonprofit group. And shortly thereafter, I believe it was 2005, Susie and Rusty gave up their positions. And myself became the Imperial Beach coordinator, which means I hold the endangered species permit to do sea turtle monitoring in Imperial Beach. Nancy Basovny holds the permit in Carolina Beach, and we work closely together as the Sea Turtle Project, as the Pleasure Island Sea Turtle Project. All of our volunteers, we have upwards of 200 volunteers that all work under our permits and under our umbrella Pleasure Island Sea Turtle Project. We have our toll-free number that we put out everywhere. Nancy and I are basically on call 24/7 from May 1st through about the end of September, sometimes into October. We maintain a very active website with updates on it as far as nest activity, but as well as how people can get involved, how they can contribute financially, how they can just help protect sea turtles when they're here vacationing, what have you, as well as a very active Facebook page. We do have a board of directors. This is the nine of us here, myself and Nancy, Joanne Harkey, who used to be at the aquarium. She's now at PPD, but she's our secretary, Thomas Simoda. Some of you may know him, a local guy as well, as our student treasurer. Sylvia Snook, also a Imperial Beach resident, is our stranding coordinator. She's getting ready, her term is up, and she is, she's going to step down, so we're looking for a replacement for her in the coming months. Paula Clare is kind of does a lot of the public awareness for us, and then Sandy Putnam, who's here with me today, Neil Darrow, and Julie Johnson is now our aquarium liaison. So I'll go over just briefly some of the like life cycle and sea turtle facts, just to kind of give you a background a little bit about what we're doing. These are the sea turtle species of the world. We typically see the loggerheads that nest here. Once in a while we'll have a green, once in a while we'll have a Kemp's Ridley, and even very once in a while a leatherback. We had one nest in Carolina Beach a few years ago. Very seldom do we see hawksbills. They're more of a Caribbean species. But basically the life cycle of the sea turtle starts with, it's sort of like which came first, the turtle or the egg, but I'll start just when they start mating. Basically, females will mate with several males during the season, and we'll start seeing them usually right about now. People will start to report seeing them off the pier and when they're out boating or fishing. And then come May, usually towards the end of May, the mother sea turtle will come ashore, usually at night, and lay her clutch up close to the dune line. She'll dig using her back flippers about 20 inches or so down into the sand and lay an average of 120 eggs. Again, that varies. We've seen nests as small as, we had one nest last year that only had like 10 eggs in it. We've seen upwards of 200. So that same female sea turtle will return to nest up to 7 times in a season, but usually around 3 or 4 times. She may nest here in Imperial Beach, Carolina Beach. Usually they do stick to the same region, but they do travel up and down the beach. So we're learning more about that through some of the research we're doing with the University of Georgia by collecting a single egg from every nest, and that gets sent to the university there, and they can tell the mother's DNA. So we're learning a lot more about the actual nesting population, which is, I totally geek out on that stuff because it's fascinating to see mother and daughter nesting here now, and then sisters and aunts and cousins. So we are starting to confirm that sea turtles do return to the general region where they were born. So it's part of our permit allows us to, one, take that egg, but then also we are connected with all these other beaches all over the region, all the way from Georgia to Virginia, and we're seeing where these sea turtles are traveling, and it's really, really fascinating. So an average of 50 to 70 days later, once the eggs are done incubating, they will start to hatch out of their eggs down below. We'll see kind of a depression form usually at the surface of the sand. That tells us that turtles are moving around under there and getting ready to come out, which they'll do, you know, anywhere from minutes later to days, a few days later, and they'll all make a mad dash for the ocean, where they will then travel for days off to the Sargassum Sea, several, you know, maybe 50 miles or so offshore, and kind of float with those mats of seaweed until they eventually are old enough and big enough to forage on their own and begin the mating cycle all over again. Any questions about that?
How many of them do you think make it out to the...
It's really hard. I mean, there's some optimistic statistics that say 1 in 1,000. Some are more pessimistic and say 1 in 10,000. So that's why the mothers lay, you know, upwards of 500 eggs or more each summer in hopes that maybe one will make it and her genes will pass along. So where our volunteers come in is first thing, 6 a.m., May 1st, we begin patrolling the beaches. We have two vehicles that we rent from United Rentals. We have two Bobcats. One goes out north and goes up to Freeman Park. Our other one goes south, all the way down here to the rigging. And what we're looking for is that top left picture there. We're looking for the mother's tracks when she's come ashore, which you can see there. It looks almost just like one giant tire track coming up out of the water, kind of an area of disturbed. Is there a pointer in here? Oh, shoot, now I totally did it. Oh, look. That area of disturbed sand in the center there, and then a track going back into the water. And so what we'll do, whoever's on patrol that day will call me. In Currie Beach, I'll head out to the beach, we'll dig around, verify that there are eggs there, we'll relocate the eggs if we need to, and then once we've got them in the spot where they're going to stay, we'll mark it off like you see here in this picture on the right, with the flagging tape and a sign that indicates what it is, and to keep fox out, we'll sometimes put down like that plastic orange fencing, sand fencing, and leave it be for the next 50 days or so. And then on the 50th day of incubation, you'll see down here in the bottom left, is when our volunteers will gather there. We start to form teams of volunteers for each nest, and they'll gather there and start to prepare the nest for hatching. We'll sometimes dig a trench, which is kind of like basically smoothing out a path from the nest to the water. And then we just spend a lot of time waiting there. We're trying to go more towards a hands-off approach. We are fully aware that sea turtles have been doing this long before we were here, and they are, you know, like dinosaurs, basically. So we know that they can do it very perfectly fine on their own. However, there are a lot of things that we compete with, like the pier lights, even the street lights, which have, you know, over the years been switched out to a little bit more of a friendly, turtle-friendly lighting, but we still struggle with turtles getting confused and disoriented. And in fact, that's one of our big focuses this year, that the Wildlife Resources Commission has asked us to start documenting more instances where there is misorientation or disorientation due to light pollution. So once our volunteers are here waiting, again, we'll usually have that indication that the depression is formed. And then we'll kind of just line the edges of the nest to make sure all the turtles get into the water. 3 days later, we'll come back and excavate the nest and do a full inventory. So we'll count all of the eggshells. We'll count all of the unfertilized eggs. Sometimes there's hatchlings that remained in the nest that just didn't get out for whatever reason. And so we'll get those out and make sure they all get into the water. So what some of our biggest management responsibilities is we have an annual Wildlife Resources Commission Endangered Species Permit Holder meeting, where we go and meet with our state coordinators and all the other beach permit holders around the state, just to kind of go over any new policies or procedures, just kind of get the latest and greatest sea turtle research and data, and just basically get kind of a meeting of the sea turtle minds together to just talk and get ready for the season. Each year we secure a rental agreement for the beach patrol vehicles. Like I said, we've been working with United Rentals, which I think
they have a new name now.
But this is our third year, I believe, renting from them. In the past, we've used the town vehicles for a while, I think from 2005 to maybe, 2008 or 2009, maybe we used the the town, the Curie Town of Curie Beach's vehicle, but, and then we bought our own for a couple of years, and that proved to not be the greatest idea, so we started renting, and that's been awesome. So that's worked out really, really well for us. So each year we just rent the vehicles and we store them at the Pelican Watch beach access there. Every year we hold an orientation for any new volunteers and returning volunteers. We usually hold, you know, a mandatory one, and then if people can't make that one, we'll try to do a makeup if we need to. We do a training. We just had that this week to train all any patrollers on the vehicles, how to use those, go over any changes on the beach, you know, eroded areas, areas where they won't be able to get through at high tide, that sort of thing. And then a little bit later on in the season, once it's time to start assigning nest leaders, we'll have a nest leader training, which we go over again. We have a handbook that we all follow that's very closely monitored by the state, so we make sure everybody's on the same page and isn't doing anything they're not supposed to do, but and is aware of what we can do. So Nancy and I, as coordinators, one of my biggest jobs is just coordinating that morning patrol schedule and communicating that with the teams, finding, you know, if somebody's out of town, you know, just kind of coordinating that effort. And then again, coordinating nest leaders and the monitoring teams and communicating that to the volunteers. I mentioned before, we find, verify, and if necessary, we'll relocate nests and monitor those nests all the way through to hatch, and then excavation, we report all that data to the state as well. We have an online reporting system that we use. Make necessary arrangements for nest management during like hurricanes or extreme high tide events. We've had, we've been pretty lucky the past couple of years, but even in some events, we've had to kind of move nests around last minute and that sort of thing, so that kind of gets scary. And then at the very bottom there is one of our duties that sometimes gets overlooked is our stranding efforts. So anytime a dead or injured sea turtle washes up or is found in the waterways or anywhere, we respond to that as well. We might transport to up to the Topsail Sea Turtle Hospital or perform necropsy there and try to determine the cause of death. Some of our board of director responsibilities, we have quarterly board meetings, an annual budget meeting, and one annual member meeting that we invite. It's open to the public, but we have that, just kind of go over where we stand fiscally. Each term is for 3 years, and just manage all the business affairs of the Sea Turtle Project as outlined in our bylaws. Some other kind of miscellaneous projects that we work on, specifically with education and outreach. We do a lot of things in the community. One here at the Curie Beach Oceanfront Park once a week during the season. We have an annual fundraiser, which benefits not just us, but the Karen Beasley Rehab Center up at Topsail, or Surf City now. We visit schools. We participate in events in the community, like at the aquarium and around town, or around to raise awareness and educate about the work we do and what they can do to protect sea turtles. We maintain an inventory of shirts and other goods to sell for just fundraising opportunities. The Adopt a Nest program, which I think is going into now, is this our third or fourth year of that?
I think it's longer than that.
Is it?
I think so. Maybe.
That's been really successful. People from all over the world adopt a nest, and they get kind of updated as the nest progresses, and we've had classroom schools from all over the country that adopt the nest, and then we kind of get to keep them posted and the students posted on what happens with their nest. And then newer also is the River Babies program. Sylvia Snook heads that. This came about when sea turtle hatchlings were being found in the riverside, and so it was kind of, they were wondering why. And so it's a very new initiative, but the state's backed it up and kind of given their blessing to try to research it more, so that's something that we support as well.
I just want to add that one thing Jody did mention is when Susie left, you know, what she was doing in terms of the sea turtle monitoring, and we took over, I would say the one thing I would highlight for sure is no hatchlings go away from the ocean, and Susie didn't monitor that. That's the biggest improvement we made. Nest to ocean, those hatchlings make it to the ocean, and if we have done anything good in all these years, that's really, I would say, that's pivotal. You just get them into that ocean.
Well, I really appreciate your being here. I guess I'm the one that started this, and I was a volunteer. Bob and I both were volunteers for about 4 years or more, and I can remember when those hatchlings walked across the road and got run over or were chasing them up and down the beach. So I'm really, really glad to see that that's changed. Part of my request is because over the years I've been on here, we've never had you come and talk to us.
Yeah, it's been so
long. And yeah, and the other nonprofits do. excuse me, allergies going crazy here. I did have some questions here. What about the lights from the houses up and down? Is that under control or something we need to help with? Or?
Yeah, I mean, when there's people here vacationing in the summer, we do what we can to get the word out about closing shades, oceanfront, turning off lights after dark. And a lot of times if we have a nest that's about to hatch in the area, and there's usually people are very cooperative. If we just go up and politely knock on the door and just let them know that there is a nest here that we're expecting to hatch, and if, you know, if we do leave and it hatches and the porch lights are on, then yeah, they'll get disoriented. So, I mean, to answer your question, no, because people do still leave lights on, and light pollution is a real thing. So. Even nesting mother sea turtles can get confused and disoriented by house lights. So it's not just about when the nests are hatching. So in theory, you know, places like Baldwin Island have lighting ordinances where front, you know, ocean front lighting has to be off after dark. That would be like an ultimate win for us. That's been something that's been on our radar for a long time, and we've tried to work with the town of Carolina Beach as well as the town of Carolina Beach to try and get some sort of a lighting ordinance in place. It's very hard. We understand that.
Okay. So. Well, I'm sure that's something John Batson would be glad to check on. And do you hand anything out? Or do we have any brochures or anything?
We do. Yeah, we have.
Let them know that.
Yes. We have ours that we put together. They're our personal, you know, with our personal information on it, with the Sea Turtle Project here. Then we have ones that are issued by the state as well that we hand out. So same thing, like if we go to the door of someone, you know, our volunteers will go to the door and give them a pamphlet and explain what's going on. And usually at that point, they're interested and would like to come and be a part of it. Well, you know, get the occasional disgruntled, had too many beers on the beach that day, whatever, you know, they're...
Not on the beach.
Right.
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 On their property, just off the beach, right. So they are, you know, but usually I would say 9 times out of 10 people are very cooperative, but...
Well, maybe that's something on our weekly emails we could do 2 or 3 times during the summer, maybe to remind people about that.
Yep.
So, okay, does the Public Works Department ever call you and let you know they've seen a...
We'll get a call more than likely usually from the police. I feel like it's usually someone has either been walking on, like someone was walking on the beach, and they come across it, they call the police call us. So it's usually, or they go online, which is, I mean, obviously since the advent of the interwebs, people are, you know, they can just, they're there on the beach, they pull up their phone, Sea Turtle, Carey Beach, and our website comes up and they can call directly. Other times in the middle of the night, they get frantic, and I mean, I've got calls from the 911 operators and, you know, all hours of the night. So it gets relayed to us, but Public Works, I don't hear from them typically, because we're usually out even before them. We see them out when we're doing our morning patrols.
Okay. You said that you rent the vehicles, and I assume you have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you have to pay for insurance?
And
I apologize, I didn't bring your budget.
That's okay. I brought it. I don't know offhand, but we can look at our budget and our profit and loss.
Yeah, does the budget take out? Because we also have the liability for us.
Right.
Yeah,
we
so
have.
No, is that one? I don't have to say. I don't know.
I don't know if it's all the same.
Yeah,
because
we
have to
be honest.
Do you get any funding from the state?
We do not.
No.
Just how easy
that's
going to show up.
Let's see here. This is a lot.
Okay, while you're looking at that, maybe if we start at the top. The Carey Beach contract, I believe we might be giving you more than that.
So it's $900 a month for the month. Thank you for the months of May, June, July, August, and September for sure. If we go into October, we don't typically bill for October. So we only use the $900 for those 5 months. If we go into October, then we may bill you, so to speak. But I don't think we have billed for October.
There may be once or so that you did, I think.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It depends. Like, I know last summer we were definitely done by October. The summer before we had over 20 nests, and we're definitely still working into October.
Okay.
We only patrol, do the morning patrols through August, but hatching season definitely goes through September and sometimes into October.
Okay, and so mm-hmm. Carolina Beach pays you about $1,000 more.
Right.
Okay. Let's see, do you see the insurance?
I'm looking.
Insurance?
I have the paper on here too. Let's see.
What do you use a bobcat for?
To patrol the beaches.
Oh, that's not a bobcat, it's just like a gator.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bobcat, yeah.
Okay. It might be down further.
Do you give so much to the federal hospital?
Yes. Yeah, we give about $10,000 a year to them. I mean, if we take even one turtle up there, the cost to for vets and just maintaining it and all of those things is at least $10,000. So we kind of just try to support her. We might take less than five a year, but even one is probably the bill. If they were to bill us for the turtles that we take there, it would be well over $10,000 a year.
Way back when I first started this, I collected 100 sea turtles out of an oceanfront swimming pool. Put them in a bucket, took them down to the aquarium.
Yes.
They were happy to get them.
Yes.
Didn't get my bucket back.
It might be totally, I don't know how you got it right there. Thank you. So, yeah, insurance. Oh, okay. It's $1,350 a year.
Okay. Exactly what is our money supposed to be going to?
So the biggest expenses that we have just for the management aspects of it are the bobcat rental, the gas to maintain it, the insurance to cover it and our volunteers, any supplies that we need, whether it's flagging tape, posts to put in the at the nests, the plastic fencing we put over the nests, we just kind of use this, the silk fencing, any beach supplies like that. The only thing the state gives us as far as that goes are the signs that we put on, so we don't have to buy those.
Okay, because I'm trying to come up with the $10,000 between us and Carolina Beach. Mm-hmm. But
well, like and I said, we are fully aware that there could come a day where renourishment funds dry up and you guys aren't getting federal or state funding, and we don't have to be doing this for y'all anymore. So if that day comes, we, you know, have kind of cushioned ourselves to, you know, to plan ahead for that.
And well, I know we're supposed to monitor the beach. We're just, you know, our budget's getting so tight, you know, and looking mm-hmm. at everything. And this doesn't come out of renourishment funding either.
Yeah, ours does not?
No, it comes out of the general fund. And you're the highest paid nonprofit we have.
Are you able to use the renourishment funds for? Because isn't that
no.
the.
No.
Because my understanding was that in order to get renourishment funds, you have to have a management program in place.
Well, we have to be able to monitor it. Doesn't mean we have to pay for it.
Right.
Because several beaches, I think it's all volunteer. But no,
we're all volunteers.
But
yeah,
I mean, you know, all of it. And but no, it comes out of our general fund.
Gotcha.
So when do you actually drive on the beach? Because the other thing is the whole habitat thing and mm-hmm. all with the turtles.
Yep.
And that's one of the things we're really supposed to be cutting back on. And
the only time we're out, we patrol May 1st through the end of August.
Okay, you don't use it at night to transport volunteers or
the supplies. Only thing that we will occasionally, depending on the situation, use it to, if we're at an excavation and we have a large area of beach that we've covered, and we have a lot of supplies to go from one place to the other, mm-hmm. or in the event of a hurricane where we're kind of under the gun to get from one nest to the other, but not really in the evening, just at the 6 a.m. patrol.
Okay. Okay. And my last question is, you remember the gentleman I put you in contact with about the program they mm-hmm. have up there at Hatteras?
Yeah.
For observing the turtles inside the nest, so you'd know a lot closer yep. to when they would hatch,
yep.
and that would help volunteers, and would also be an educational program mm-hmm. for our residents and visitors. Is there any possibility we would ever do that?
After talking with him, it really didn't sound like we qualified because we have such a large volunteer base and we have volunteers on the beach. He was looking more for beaches like Fort Fisher, Bald Head, where there's no one there monitoring the nest.
Okay, I talked to him that day that Steve Shuttleworth called you. And he said it wasn't that we didn't qualify. He was looking for something he could, somewhere where they pay for it, like at Hatteras. Mm-hmm. They pay their people to monitor the beaches. They don't have volunteers. Their staff actually mm-hmm. does it. And so this was a way of seeing how they could cut back mm-hmm. on funding. But he said ours would be really, really good for an educational program. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
of course, we'd have to apply for grants to help pay for the equipment. But I hope that's something you'll consider one
yeah,
day.
Yeah, well, the last time I talked to him, he was kind of like, yeah, it doesn't really sound like you would be qualified. But if he told you something different since then,
yeah.
then I would be happy to talk to him again.
Yeah, he said we wouldn't save any money as a result.
Yeah.
But that he'd yeah, I mean, be great.
And again, I think, too, with nest numbers, like, we have, depending on the year, have a fair amount, but we're not like Fort Fisher or Bald Head that, yeah. you know, have...
If we may only have one.
Right, exactly. It's happened. It's been a few years, but it's happened.
Well, maybe think about that for next
yeah,
year.
Yeah, I would
we'll
be happy to reach out to him again.
Get some grants or something
yeah.
to help pay for that.
Okay. That would be, I mean, it sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, well, most of all, you know, we had just never heard from you. I couldn't figure out what all that money was going for, and frankly, I had heard that it was the Bobcat was being used a lot more than just...
It's a flat rental. What does it matter?
Because it matters for the beach, not for the Bobcat.
Right. Okay.
And
yeah, we don't care for
that. But since we've got that whole thing with the turtles and the wildlife
yeah.
people and all, and one of the things we're not even supposed to be doing but certainly cut back on is driving up and down
yeah,
the beach.
Yeah, no, we're so. Very conscientious about that. I mean, if there was some sort of an emergency that we, you know... like a huge turtle mm-hmm. that needed to be hauled off when that seal was in Carolina Beach. We offered up our, you know, our Bobcats to help haul some of their gear and that sort of thing. But really 6 a.m. patrols is pretty much it.
And do you go all the way to the end of Freeman Park?
Mm-hmm.
Or? Okay.
We
Carolina Beach does.
Yeah, we don't. We have one Bobcat that goes north and then ours goes south from Pelican Wash to the Rigging.
Okay.
But yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Thank
you,
Jody.
Thank
no,
you.
We didn't have any questions. I knew you know,
okay.
what the thing was.
You know what's up. And actually, just as an aside, we have over the years talked about walking the beach. The problem is that
go
most of our volunteers are unable to do that. It's a big beach. You know, mm-hmm. even if we yeah. sectioned it off, that's a hard ask on our particular beach. So, but we have thought about it, you know, not to use the vehicles.
We don't know what's going to happen with the wildlife people. Someday they may.
Well, and right, and we're aware of that. I mean, every
yeah.
year we talk about it, we think about it. It's just not very doable with the age of our.
Yeah.
And they need to take that into consideration.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's just nothing. It's a long beach,
yep.
and
our
volunteers are.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And if there's any way we can help with the lights, let us
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let John know.
Yes.
Yes.
Dark sky.
Let me be in real trouble.
Presentation of revised draft for FY 15-16 budget. Company.
Good morning. I'm going to have to wait a couple of minutes for a second.
Okay.
For some reason, this is not frozen.
I think the wireless line went off because mine froze too.
Lock it up.
I'm not sure.
Who's that wireless again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's because I thought we lost.
Yeah, that's not working. It's frozen. I'm going to have to do this.
Check which wireless you want.
Yeah. It's down.
See what it takes to
Town
this.
Hall.
Go and get on TMB.
Let's see.
Don't see that one.
Yes,
like one more.
No, it's working.
Is it bad?
No, no, this is the wireless is working. It's just one of the other things.
That's the one session.
Oh, that's mine.
All right.
Yeah,
it's
been a long time.
Yeah.
I
think you're
Oh, yeah.
I think it is. Is that a breakfast break?
Thank you. I figured I'd done enough damage to my diabetes.
There you go. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's fine. Sorry. They're just two different. There's two different wireless. You have to pick the right password. Normally, one of the passwords is up at built in the computer.
What happened? Is ready?
Yeah, for whatever reason it froze. Yeah.
Steve did.
Pass.
Are you in TOKB? It's the fax number 910.
Okay,
all right.
Okay, after the last budget meeting, there was a suggestion of several different scenarios, I guess. So I haven't actually gone in and changed anything on the budget, you know, per se into the detail, but I have done a number of different spreadsheets based on different scenarios that were asked for. But I know there's two council members that were not here. We're not able to make it last time, so I didn't know if you wanted any type of overview before we start with any revisions, anything about.
I went through your PowerPoint, and then I talked with Steve. I'm not Steve. I'm sorry, Craig. So I'm fine. You can start with changes, and I'm
yeah,
fine.
I'm too.
Okay. Yeah. Right. And I know Steve. Yeah. And I. Well, okay. So then, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to. This were things just from last time, so I'm going to go through all of this. And come to the first page, which is a little hard to read, so I hand it out to everybody. So if you go to the, and it gets confusing, let me tell you, because all the different scenarios that were discussed and trying to come up with a different version for every scenario. So the first one that you'll find, it's the general fund, and it's for keeping operating expenses flat with this current, with 2015.
Yep.
It's actually a spreadsheet. There's no page number on it, so it's the first page that you'll come to without a page number. I had to do something that made it large enough to read. So.
Page 12.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
So what this does, and I think one of the requests, I believe, from the mayor was to keep operating expenses flat with last year, the current year that we're in right now. So this does that. So it starts with the operating budget for each department. For fiscal year 15, one little difference is for admin and finance. I needed to break that out into two separate departments, but for the current year, it's just one department, so I did the best guess I could to allocate that out. The next part of this was to include all capital outlay that was included in the 2016 budget, so that's the next column, adding that back. I then did some what I call 2016 increases, and to me they were things that you just could not keep flat. For example, within administration there was a new employee. It's hard to say that those expenses have to be flat when there's something fairly significant that took place that affects the budget. Same thing with elections. There's an election, local election that for 2016, so you really need to add that in. Debt service, there were new loans during the course of the year, so you really can't keep debt service flat. The next two lines, contingency and transfers, were really balancing numbers in a way. What I did was I brought the contingency come up to $181,685 in this case, because that's the maximum amount we could have based on this scenario. And the balance going into transfer to beach protection, which would really mean that the transfer to beach protection is over $200,000 for this year with this scenario. Which, in my opinion, isn't something we want to do. And it's also, I think, very difficult. You see in the far right corner, far left columns, or right columns, I'm sorry, the amount of decrease that each department would have to do to, and also the percentage change. So I don't even know if some of this is doable. But it was something that was requested, and I wanted to put it out there, so.
What's the $4,000 increase in government money for?
I think the bulk of that, let me just flip back to that page. That's okay. $1,500 for food costs for things like the beach breakfast, these types of meetings, the retreat, which before was covered out of the administration budget. This is just moving it into this budget. Also, a increase in travel and training, because every year we cut it, then we have to do budget amendments because then we go over. So this gets it back into what it has been for the last 2 years. So trying to get it into a realistic number, and then some other minor increases, telephone and a couple other things. But so that was the concept here, I guess. And again, it was one of the scenarios that was asked for, so that's why it's here.
Right. So Dean, can you explain why you came up with this concept? Because the department heads, I mean, I talked with Sonny specifically about it, but I'm sure the other department heads will say the same thing, is they cannot maintain the service level with this concept. So why do we do this?
Just try to save money.
Okay. I mean, I understand that if the budget doesn't close, we got to do that. But if you start from somewhere that is going to change the service level, then we should say we're going to change the service level.
Right.
So to say, I mean, just conceptually, your budget at home and my budget at home is not flat for next year, right?
Right.
I mean, it's not, right? I wish it was. I would really love that, right? I tell my kids and wife that all the time, but that's not really what happens, right? So, I mean, is this just so we understand where we're starting from the budget, or because I just want to understand kind of what your thoughts are on this. I mean, if
I want the department heads to have a shock that 5% across the board, it is something that we can be considering.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, so I mean, I wasn't here, so I assume you told the department is that right? So your position is that 5% growth for this year is excessive. Okay, I got that right. So this was just to go back to, okay, here's where we made it through last year. Okay, I just want to understand what it was supposed to do. Okay. I mean, conceptually, you don't think this is where you're going to end up with a budget, right?
No.
Okay. I mean, if you do, that's okay, right? You're one vote, and if that's your view of the budget, I'm fine with it. I just want to understand where it is. Because in the end, we got to get to a place where three of us agree what the budget is, right? And I just want to understand where you are. Okay.
But then the budget you presented last time, that was a balanced budget.
Was a balanced budget.
As far as I understand from reading.
Correct.
Okay.
So the real issue with the budget, well, I guess there are a couple issues, right? So the salary study was one big issue, as I understand talking with some of my fellow commissioners. So that was one big issue. What was the second big issue?
Well, let me, on the general fund, for all funds, salary study. That's one.
Right. That's a huge one. Yeah.
Open item.
It's a huge one because you can look at it in individual line items and see it. You did a great job of breaking that out, by the way.
Then for the general fund, you know, besides that, there was much less transfer to beach protection.
Right.
In the past,
okay.
We did about 100,000. This was 20,500.
Okay.
And then also the contingency. In the past couple of years, we maxed that out at 5% of
right.
the appropriations.
So we're cutting into that this year.
Yeah. This year, where I started, was only at $30,000.
Right. Okay. So that's big issues, right?
Yeah. That's probably it. On the water and sewer, we came up short. Without some type of rate
right.
increase, you know, and so that's the big thing in water and sewer is increase to the minimum rates.
Well, I think you and Dean and I telegraphed that to council when we had the sewer authority set, right?
Right.
I think from my standpoint, I talked with Sonny, my concern is doing it on the minimum versus the overage side. You know, and that's really a philosophical issue that I want the council to think about. So first, let's talk about the general fund. Let's get back to the water and sewer fund, right?
Okay.
So if we can focus, right? So Steve's point was we had a balanced budget. In your PowerPoint, you showed that while we balanced the budget this year, we have a problem in 5 years. And I think that was an interesting way to look at it. I don't know if I agree with all your assumptions, but it was a very eye-opening look to show that, okay, if we keep on this trend, we'll have a problem.
Before that. That's what I had put together for the retreat. Was
right.
I didn't even
yep.
then update it, then it was the same information. We'll have a problem before that.
Right, okay. Right. Okay. So, I mean, for the council, what's our proposal moving forward, right? So, Steve highlights we had a balanced budget. At least when I talked with Craig, he's very concerned about the salary study, and I think do you have another slide showing where you cut
couple,
it in half?
Okay. Yeah, I have a couple things.
Then I'll chill out. I apologize.
But
I'll
said,
switch to decaf a little bit.
It just gets confused, you know, because there were a number of different proposals. So
well, I just want me to seem to be caught back all the way up, right? So is there anything I missed from your discussion, Steve? Does that sort of catch
yeah.
us up? Okay.
So anybody have any other questions on this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the next one. Again, my understanding after the last workshop, so if you flip to the next page,
good.
Was to look at the operating expenses that were proposed by each department for this upcoming year, for fiscal year 16, and just take 5% off the top. So that's what this does, that it takes the operating expenses in the third column to the left, it takes 5% off the top, no indication where it's going to come from, just 5%. Where possible, I mean, you can't cut things like the election expense, tax code. You know, there's some things that you just can't cut, I guess. We're going to pay those no matter what. Then add back, the instructions were to add back the capital outlay, so that's done. And then I have some increases to the budget, and that's also the balancing impact, you know, effect. We have so much revenue that's estimated for the year, we have to balance our expenses back to that. So I increase the transfer to the beach protection fund up to $50,000, and the balance of it, that $146,144, you see in the one column there, would be added to the original $30,000 that I had going to contingency. So we'd have a total of a little over $176,000 going to contingency. Again, this doesn't. Department heads would have to come up with a way to reduce their budget by the amounts that are in that 5% reduction
right.
column. So again, kind of a straight process or whatever with no indication of how it impacts service. But that was one of the other requests.
The committee.
This is from the request.
This is one
okay.
of the requests.
Okay.
From the request kind of varied a little as we went or whatever, so that's
yeah,
why
yeah.
I did one, you know, that
no,
five version. This is the 5% reduction version.
Okay.
What's, there's $7,500 for committees and that is $2,200?
Okay, this is going back to what was originally proposed. I mean, committees, it's basically one committee in there, which is the SLAP or
right.
whatever. One big thing they had was $20,000 for a new beach access. So this is just going back to the beginning thing, what was requested, and
mm-hmm.
taking that 5% reduction. I try to keep it as simple as possible, even though it was kind of confusing.
A beach access?
It's... There wasn't really
to make it handicap.
To make it handicap.
That's a very reasonable estimate.
There really was no actual consensus on committees, but kind of the direction that it went after all these discussions last time was that committees reduce them down to their budget for this current year, which is $7,500.
Steve, I think we were looking at things instead of the 5% reduction. We had been looking at things that we could cut back on.
And that's the next version.
Right.
And
don't we have any
doing that beach? Yes, we did.
Besides that one?
That's the only one that's not.
That's the only one, okay.
But we were talking, I was talking about the possibility of putting that off in order to save that money for the coming year.
Yeah, I mean, I make a recommendation. How many accesses do we have?
20?
14.
So 13 of them have handicap access?
No.
How many have handicap
All the way to the beach?
All the way to the beach. That's handicap access. Come on.
No, not all the way to the beach. It's only four
two,
or five have all
two
the way to
the beach.
Well, like I said, the next version of this is going to show a different direction. It was like take committees back to the current level where they are right now, which was $7,500. So when I say committees, we're talking about one committee.
It's well, cool. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many more signs we can make, right?
No, we can always make more. I tell you.
So that was the idea here, and again, this is kind of the best that I felt was reasonable, you know, way to do a 5% kind of off the top of operating expenses.
Yeah.
And again, department heads would have to be able to find a way to make this work, whether that's doable or
so
not.
So this is salary, this is everything?
This is everything. This includes, again, that where we started, which includes all that salary adjustment, all
of
that.
Yeah, it's everything. Okay, right. I understand. It's all in. Okay, right. I understand. I just want to make sure I understood the assumptions, okay?
Like I said, trying to keep it simple, and each version had its own unique, you know,
I got you.
Well, I'm a pain in the neck. I mean, you know, if we're cutting there, you know, asking for 5%, what are we going to do for the governing body to cut 5%? Less travel and training? Should pay your own way.
Yeah, you go.
Should pay your own way. You want to go someplace.
Keep going, okay.
All right, the next one, and I call this selected reductions, and this was one, I guess, that I guess Craig had summarized near the end of the meeting, and it was to do certain adjustments or whatever, once the council kind of said, let me see what happens if we take this out. So again, starting with what every department requested, including their capital outlay, everything, and then taking out just certain things. The first column for reductions is the salary study adjustment, taking out half of that.
Yep.
With no thought on how it would be done, just by cut each department in half. The other column.
Well, okay, so.
Yeah, this is just taking.
This is not number. How to do it, okay. This is the money, right?
Right,
yes.
Because we got to talk about that as well, right? So if we did this, then council's got to give direction to the department heads on how they implement it.
And okay. I'm going to have one more version.
Okay, good enough. Thank you. You're good. Sorry, I'm ahead.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Okay.
And then it was the other reductions, which it was the governing body was to bring back the outside agency requests. And with this, we're not talking about the turtle thing because that's in John's budget, but all the other requests, bring them back to the current year level, bring right. committees back to the 7,500 current level. So that's right. that reduction. Within administration, it was to bring maintenance down to the current year level, kind of take out amount for that would be used towards painting the yep. exterior of the building. In addition to $30,000 for some whatever the space study analysis yeah. design, whatever we wanted to call it for the town yeah. and that was sure. to support one of council's goals.
Yep.
Community center, reduce their maintenance and bring it down to the current year level. There was an amount included in there for painting at the maintenance center inside and outside also. So those are the reductions. So if you follow that across, you see what the new and improved budget would be, the revised budget, and then you know how that's changed, the percentage reduction in each department. So that was that approach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I don't know if anyone has any questions on that. Okay. Then we'll come up to just another version. Just because, you know, I wanted to get up to four versions. So I added this one.
Nice. You got a minimum number.
This is very similar to the one we just looked at. But that salary adjustment, it's more selective. on how it will be applied. So that amount you show there is the amount it would be reduced. For example, you know, admin and finance, it's reducing the entire salary adjustment. And same with each department. That's the amount of the reduction. So if, for example, the police department, Nancy spoke with Dennis and kind of went through who would be eligible based on the original salary study for a salary adjustment. And, you know, Dennis provided his input on, well, I think, you know, rather than this full amount for this person, maybe it should be this amount. So this is
really, the department heads weighed in on this one.
Right. In all cases except for Public Works.
So why didn't Sonny weigh in?
You never
find the time to meet.
So then what did you guys do instead?
We left his 100.
I left his 100%.
That they get exactly what was asked for. That's why there's no reduction in streets and sanitation.
So is that why the budget comes out exactly as the one before? Because I see all these additions and reductions.
You have to remember that the budget has to balance. So if I'm estimating, what I'm estimating is that $4,021,784 in revenue.
That's right. He has
to balance.
So you put it. Where did you put it, though?
That went into the two
bottom lines. The contingency and the transfers.
Right.
So the beach renourishment contingency, they just went up. That's what he did. Okay.
So that's where I said it starts to get a little bit confusing, but that's the concept. So this is very similar to the version before it that Craig had summarized at the last meeting that he was looking for, which just the salary adjustment approach is a little bit different. And then I guess the other part, if there's any, that excludes any amount for department heads, though. So if there's anything that anybody's doing with that council wants to do with a department head in regard to a salary adjustment, that would have to be added back by council.
Okay. So you need to... It needs to be a line shown in there, right, in total, so the council understands it, right? So what was the five department heads, what was the amount? Because you haven't left out, right?
Maybe we move on to something else just for a minute, right, which is what Nancy has.
Do you want to go through that now, because recommendation for the
I just want to know what the number is, so you'd reduce the contingency, I guess, to fix that if the council did that? Is that where it come from?
That's where it would come from.
Okay. And what's it in total for the five department heads?
Well, it depends on what you're looking at. You know, this. You know what I mean?
The total and then the half. How's that? So I can write it down.
I
mean, I understand, but when you keep the department heads out, and we can't figure out the total number.
Well, we can't make a decision for the department.
No, I know, but presenting the budget, you're right, but you should say, here's the options, right? I mean...
Right, but I did hand all that... before handed all the salary stuff.
Okay.
And that's where it's also
department together. Okay.
Right. And that's where it's looking at what it's just kind of difficult when you're talking about yourself, you know.
So
that's where it really comes, that in particular needs to be, you know.
But you don't have a sheet where all the department heads are together, right? Amount over grade level master.
Do you want to go to
Never mind, I'm sorry, don't let me slow you down now so I mess you up. I'm just saying that's an open question for me is, okay, if you left the department heads out, the budget really doesn't balance yet.
Well, it depends on what you want to do. Maybe you decide you don't want department heads to have any amount. I think that's the question, I guess.
Okay.
But if I were to,
I'm okay. Don't stall out with this one question. I'll just keep it as a question. But
the thing is, it's kind of overriding for all the other.
Right.
This is really one of the biggest open issues, I guess, is how we want to proceed with this. So I think.
But this does have a very.
The maximum the department has by the salary study is $30,182.
Plus another 20% for the impact of benefits and everything.
And taxes, right?
Okay. And then half that would be 15 plus, right? 91.
It'd be 37.4 basically, including all the impact of Social Security taxes.
Okay, I know the boundary. Okay, that's all I need. Thank you.
But that's kind of the total.
I got it. Okay.
So that's not included here just because it's...
Okay,
you know,
that's fine.
That was
okay. But it, If we do something with the department, is it decreases the contingency?
Unless there's a decrease somewhere else.
And for council, is you guys' thoughts that whatever we do with the salary study, we would kind of follow the same process for the department heads, or are we going to talk about it separately one by one? Just so I understand where you guys are.
I'm going to recommend you go into a closed session before you leave today.
Okay.
And make that decision, so all of those.
Okay.
Can we talk about salary? I mean, would this interrupt you if we talked about the salary study right now?
No. Because like I said, this impacts everything.
That's right. Yeah, it's the hugest driver of the whole thing.
Right.
What Arlen did was to present benchmarks. Okay? He wasn't saying this is the way you have to do it, or even this is the way you should do it.
Right.
He did just what we asked him to and got the benchmark, and that was all. Before, at our other meeting, we had everything from throw all of it out to we're going to go down the list of employees and tell the department heads who should get a raise and who shouldn't get, or who should be on the salary study and who shouldn't, which is really dangerous. It's micromanaging, and I watch the state get sued for doing something like that. What I would like to suggest is that we have two commissioners who sit down with the department heads and talk about what do we want to do now that we have this information. We shouldn't leave the decision totally up to Arlen. We shouldn't dump everything on the department heads and micromanage them and tell them what to do and down to the little individual employee. I would like to see us get together with the department heads and discuss where do we go from now. Do we take it by employee? Do we do a percentage? What, you know, I just don't think we can sit here and make a decision today.
Well, actually, the part of that's already been done, which is Nancy talked with the department heads in regards to here's what the salary study says.
Right.
What do you think should be on? And again, everybody except Sonny.
And that was back one, or that's this one?
That is this one right
that's
here.
This one.
So,
that's
so right. Those amounts that are in the column are not what it will be. That's how much we're reducing it.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. And so Sonny did not want to reduce his at all.
Oh, no. We're not. We don't know.
Yeah. So I mean, I talked to Sonny. I don't want to speak for him specifically about money, but I would say that his point was we do not have a retention problem, and when we post a job, he had over 200 applicants. So we don't have a recruiting problem with our current salary. That's not to say that we shouldn't take care of employees, right? So if it shows we could lose them, because we do invest in training them, and training a new guy is a cost to the town, you got to balance that. But I think he should get the way in. I think Nancy did the right thing in leaving it in there, and then if he reduces some, that helps the budget, and it just goes to contingency anyway.
So if he doesn't, I mean...
I think we still need to get his input.
Yeah, because...
You may have to do that.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, because
okay,
this is not a retention issue or a hiring issue, then I have a problem with just doing it, the benchmark 100%.
No, I do too. I don't think
so,
we are.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, even the department heads reduced it, so just listening to the department heads, we wouldn't do it 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to get Sonny's input, but all the other department heads... reduce fairly significantly. I don't know what percentage that ends up being, if you guys calculate it that way, but, you know.
If you'll give me a couple minutes to go through this, I'm looking at
you. Okay, cool.
Questions. Does anybody have a copy?
Yes, ma'am.
As you recall at the retreat when we presented this, the analysis was that of our 11 pay grades, we had 5 pay grades that either met the benchmark or exceeded, and the benchmark was the average salary from 14 different towns, including Wilmington, for each position. As in those 5 pay grades that meet or exceed, that's 18 members of our staff, or 46% of our staff. So that's the good news. We had 2 pay grades that were 1 to 5% below market, that 3 employees or 7.5% of our staff. That's building, fire, and public works. We have 3 pay grades that are 6 to 10% below market. That's that was admin and finance, fire, police, and public works. 17 employees or 44% of our staff. That's a concern to me right there. And we had one pay grade that was 16 to 20% below market. That's in fire, that's one employee or 2.5% of our staff. Those are the two biggest concerns to me, the 6 to 10% below market and the 16 to 20% below market. That is not equitable across the board for salary that we're paying our employees. Turn to the next page. Some recommendations here.
Can you go back and say what you mean that's not equitable, just so I understand that?
When you look across the board at how you're paying your employees,
right.
Some departments are paying their employees at competitive market rate, and some are way below by pay grade. Then we have some few employees within pay grades that are at benchmark or exceed benchmark that are considerably below. So those are the ones that I looked at and took the initiative to sit down with each of the department heads to say, based on your knowledge of this person, what their skill set was when they hired in, how long they had their job, where they are with your other staff, what do you think is a fair number?
Okay.
Could you tell us what you're going to do as far as adjusting the way our pay grades are right now? You know, we've got that long list of numbers, and it jumps from year to year, and it's really kind of discombobulated.
I'm waiting for the outcome of this. I need to get some idea of where council's going with this. I had a lot of concerns at the last budget meeting when we were pretty much the first thing we got was a salary study, or just a straight 50% without any thought as to how we were impacting the pay grades. Mm-hmm. Looking across the board, like we talked about, what's the pay philosophy for the town? Do you want to pay a fair rate to your employees, or do you say, well, we don't have any problems hiring, so we'll pay whatever we want as low as we want? But
you
I didn't say that,
Nancy.
The fair rate issue, if the market says the market, just because other towns are not paying the market, doesn't necessarily mean Curie Beach is wrong and they're right. Right? So the market is the arbiter of pay rates. It is. And one way to measure that is, can you get people applying for the jobs that you're posting? Right? That's Sonny's point about, hey, I had 200 applicants, right? The other part is, okay, you should look around at other communities and compare yourself, but as you said at our first meeting, our benefits are better than most of those other communities. And so when you don't include benefits, you're not really portraying the picture exactly right. That's not to say we shouldn't look at the data and decide what to do as a council, right? Mm-hmm. We got to balance the cost to the citizens and paying the concept of equity to our employees, right? And so that concept, there's no way to prove that. There's, you know, no data will say you're fair or you're not fair. That's a belief of the employees and the commissioners and the citizens that we have to, one, make sure we do the right thing, and then two, communicate why we did what we did, right? So we're looking at data now. We got to turn that into action and then communicate that action, right? Because I don't think any of the commissioners, my sense is, believe that we should do 100% what y'all recommended. Staff did exactly what we told them to do. They brought us the data with a recommendation. Now we got to turn that into action. And that's where we're at right now. So with that, okay, I'm with you on keep going, right? So, and I appreciate the department heads, except for Sonny, now I've had a chance to weigh in on this issue because their input is very important, right? For which employees should be touched, and if not the amount, at least which ones, what's the priorities of how to do that? Sorry to interrupt.
Okay, and I was speaking to you as your personnel officer.
Yep, I understand.
Across the board.
Yep, definitely. What page are you on now? So I'm on the right page.
Recommendation number one.
Got it, okay.
I think you do need to include in the fiscal year 15-16 budget.
Could you speak a little louder? I am half deaf.
Nice.
Recommend it. Is this not on?
Probably not.
It's not on. Yeah. Recommendation number one, including the fiscal year 15-16 budget, an adjustment to the 10 employee salaries and pay grade 9 that are below benchmark. If you look back on page, the first page in the blue.
Yep.
to 6 to 10% below market. Pay grades 8 and 9, which were combined in this study because they have the exact same job description.
Yeah.
According to Public Works Director, they do the same job. Everybody over there does the same job. That's one of our lowest groups that are below benchmark.
Okay.
10 of the 11 employees in that group are below benchmark, anywhere from 1,800 to 3,500.
Okay.
So my recommendation, to me, this is kind of a glaring
thing.
At least almost a fourth of our employees, and I believe that they should be brought up to the benchmark that we listed in there. This impacts some public works for a total of $28,180. These numbers are not with taxes and benefits. All I can give you those are tours. This is mainly on the... On salary only. That spreads out across the general fund, $15,611. Water fund, $9,114. Stormwater fund, $3,455. Any questions on that?
Okay, these 10 employees, will they be brought up to a single amount, or will their years of service be taken into consideration? Or have they all been here the same number of years?
Can you get my other numbers? They'll be brought up to the benchmark.
Or do we just leave this up to the department head to decide because of their evaluations?
Well, that's what I wanted to speak with Public Works Director about. The benchmark for this is $34,083. Of the 11 employees, the one that is above benchmark has been here since 2009. He has the longest, 2005, he has the longest number of years of service. Most of the other employees have been here since 2012. Were hired in 2007, 2009, 2008. A couple that were hired in, one was hired in 2013.
Okay. It sounds like we should leave it up to the department head because the evaluation may make a, our department head would know more about his people than we would.
Well, I think we need to make sure that the personnel officer gives guidance, all the department heads are doing it basically the same, right? So
yes.
If council says we're taking into account years of service, they all need to do that basically the same. If we're not, we're bringing everyone to the benchmark, then the personnel officer needs to make sure the department heads understand that. So
and
first we need to approve the money, and then we need to determine, are there guidelines the council and personnel officer wants the department heads to follow in that, or is Arlen just going to do it based on the input? I'm okay either way, but we have to define that. First, we got to get to the number. But Nancy, I think as an action item for personnel, you need to guide council on what guidelines should be, how we implement this. So if we, whatever money we approve, not for the COLA and merit, because those apply how they always applied, but for this, we have to give guidance. And you should tell us what guidance we should give, I think, so we don't get ourselves in trouble. Okay.
I'm making these are my recommendations to you as a personnel officer.
Well, her question was, they're all coming to the benchmark regardless of how many years of service or anything. Is that what your recommendation is?
Yes.
Okay, so that's your recommendation. So we're not factoring in anything else for the people that are 6 to 10% below. Your recommendation is we bring them to the benchmark all at the same time all together.
That's correct.
Okay. Does that answer? We don't know if we agree with that, because that's right. What Emily's question was, but that's your recommendation. You got it. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Next page, recommendation number 2. I think in this proposed budget, you also need to include an adjustment to 3 of the 6 salaries in pay grades 13, 14, and 19. These are our middle management supervisory positions that have a little more decision-making authority. These pay grades are, pay grade 13 is 1 to 5% below benchmark, 14 and 19 are 6 to 10% below benchmark. 6 positions or 15% of employees are in these pay grades, and 4 to 6 are below benchmark. Now, I did speak with the department heads individually about these, except for public works, about time of position, skill level, and hire comparisons with other staff, et cetera. And the result was a recommendation of adjustments to three of the four positions below the benchmark. That impact is to fire and public works. Adjustment, total adjustment would be $8,255. That's a savings of $15,130 from the initial to bring everybody to benchmark in those pay rates. Again, this is not taxes and benefits. This is straight salary. Impact is $7,000 in the general fund and $1,255 to the water fund.
So the ones you showed, is these in any one of these? Or sort of, they're sort of in, but not really, right? You don't have one that has her?
The closest one is actually this one.
This one, right? Okay.
Right. And the numbers I have up there include the impact of taxes and benefits and
okay.
everything. So that's...
But that is her recommendations without the department heads or no?
No, that is with the department heads. That excludes... it makes the... Since Sonny wasn't available to talk about it, we're just assuming his stayed with no reduction, so that it's the full amount to benchmark. That was the assumption.
The same as this or no?
The same as that. I didn't have any employees
that were
above.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Well, yes, but the bulk of his employees are above.
Yes, it follows the recommendations there.
Oh, that's what, okay.
Version.
Okay, that's what I wanted to understand. Okay, so this one is the same as this. Okay, I got it. Okay, and that gives us a good contingency and a good two beach rehearsal. Okay.
Recommendation three, the council needs to be in closed session either after this meeting or as part of this meeting or part of your meeting tonight. To give direction on the four department head level positions that were below benchmark that came out of the salary study. These positions are in pay grades 15, 17, and 19. Pay grade 15 is 1-5% below benchmark, pay grade 17 is 16-20% below, and pay grade 19 is 6-10% below. A particular concern is pay grade 17, it's the lowest below benchmark of all pay grades, and pay grades 15 and 19 are the second lowest below benchmark. Impact is undetermined, but your council is the only one who can make a decision about the department heads.
Right.
We are on a timeline with the budget. If we don't give our direction today, we're going to have another budget meeting before your May.
Okay.
So that we can
ideally, if there can be some direction today, that would be ideal.
Okay.
Questions?
I can't picture how we'll do this, but I just feel strongly that department heads need to be treated the same way their employees are. So whatever we decide, what the process we choose to do employees, we should do that same process with department heads.
Well, in a way, that's what you'd be doing, because each department head kind of looked at their personnel, I guess, and said how they would out, you know, what they think the person should get in relation to the benchmark. So, yeah, the council doing that for the department heads would be the same approach.
When we do this in private or whatever, I think we should take that same tactic.
And recommendation four, include in this proposed budget adjustment for four of the seven salaries in pay grades 10, 11, 12, 20, and 21. Now, all of these pay grades do meet or exceed benchmark. We have 18 members of our staff, or 46% of employees in these pay grades. There are seven employees that are enough below benchmark that it was a concern to me. I did speak with the department heads about these employees, again, about time and position, skill level, and higher comparisons with other staffs. And that resulted in adjustments recommended for four of the seven positions below benchmark. The impact is to police and fire for $5,761, that's general fund only. This is a reduction of $15,917 from the proposed 100% to benchmark numbers. Questions? In summary, and again, this number, $42,195, is the salaries from the actual study, it's not taxes and benefits. It's a recommended salary adjustment amount. This is everybody except department heads, the four department heads. This approach corrects what I think are the inequities that exist in salaries within pay grades. And have inequity between pay grades. Some are above, some are at, some are below. To minimize the impact of the fiscal year 15-16 budget more, you may consider making these adjustments effective mid-year in January 2016, reducing the impact to $21,247. Taking a straight 50% reduction in adjustment only reduces the impact of budget. It does not correct any of the inequities, which to me was the purpose of the salary study, to see where we are and how we're doing.
Now, I wasn't at the session where this was, they asked you, who asked for this benchmark study?
Emily brought it up, but the rest of council directed it.
Right. I mean, that was our council, I forget, yeah. That was before the retreat. That was right. Like maybe, I don't know, September, October right. Of last year.
Yeah, you were at the council meeting when it was brought up. Yeah. You just weren't at the retreat when we discussed it.
The original numbers to bring everyone to benchmark was $104,424. That's salary only. A 50% reduction is $52,212. Again, salary only. This recommendation is $42,195, but without the department heads.
Correct.
Before the department.
Well, you always say without, the benefits. No, how much is it with all that?
So you got to add 20%. That's the impact there.
Okay.
Because you have to add the retirement contribution, the FICA taxes. 401k are the primary things that you bring in and all that there.
So good recommendation. You're below what council directed you to do. We got to talk about the department heads, I think, but I appreciate the information. So now what got us, so Arlen, to stay on track, what do you need from council for the general fund right now? So out of these four different things, you've showed us, right?
Right. I guess some kind of consensus. I mean, we showed a number of different things here. Different
That's
ways.
Right.
So it's what direction does council want to go? I mean, is it, this type of recommendation or the one before this, which is very similar, but anything in particular that council wants reduced besides what I identified here? And I will say that I actually identified one extra thing that was kind of discussed at the last workshop, but right. it was taking that $15,000 out of Parks and Rec for a volleyball court. Yeah. I guess Dean said the committee kind of right backed off a little bit, but it was a committee request for the from the Parks and Rec Advisory Board. So, but that was a capital project, so in all the other proposals that was left in, because that was the direction from right. council at the last meeting, but I took it out on this one. But, so that's one part. If we want to just put the salary study aside, it's what other revisions council would like from the original budget that was proposed on the 8th of July. Besides what... Well, maybe not only besides what's here, but maybe you don't agree with what's here as reductions, but it's...
Well, so on this one right here, I want to make sure I understand this one right. So, except for salary reductions, all the other stuff that and the salary reductions and the maintenance for space planning and painting the building, everything else the department has said they needed to maintain the level of services in this one?
Correct.
Okay.
In addition to a COLA and...
Merritt and Colton. Okay, right. So that's what's in this one right now.
Right.
So what you've taken out of this is the space planning, the maintenance requested by Nancy for the community center in this building, and
bring back
and the salary stuff. The salary study stuff is out of here. With department head input.
Correct.
Right? Okay. And the budget closes with some wiggle room around contingency that we still have to discuss the department heads.
Correct.
And just so I understand, for the salary study with the department heads, that's the same as what Nancy just showed us with the benefits added.
Correct.
Okay, I just wanted to calibrate where I am. Okay. So for council, is there consensus that we can support this budget? We still got to talk about the department heads in a closed session today on the general fund, or no?
No.
With no tax increase?
Yeah, this is...
Okay.
This is the salary thing starting July 1st.
This is starting July 1st.
Right.
So there's.
So you're right. You can change it to January as well. That's right.
Right.
Okay. Good point. Because that was one of her options. Okay.
But this time next year, we're in the same situation.
Yeah.
We would have to find where that additional 50,000, 60,000 would be. 60,000 would be coming from.
Yeah. So. I mean, just like at your house, you got to find.
That
oh no, I certainly understand growth of spend. Right. I have two daughters and a wife. So if no one else in here understands that, I got it. And a son, right? So I definitely understand growth of spend.
And that doesn't stop when they get older.
I know. So, Dean, if you can't support it, what changes do you recommend?
The painting of the community center. I've asked the people when they were in art class over there.
Well, that's already out.
Yeah, it's already
not even in here. So,
okay.
We'll take that out.
It's already out.
Salary adjustments. They need to be made for six different people only.
Six different people only.
Yeah, so, and I've got them written down here.
And how did you pick them, just so we understand? So I understand.
That they are behind the median income, and I think that they need a bump, yeah.
So that's the bottom, out of her recommendations, the bottom.
Yeah, and that 20%, you know, with the, I mean, 10%, whatever, that's got to be
what
recommended.
I have 11 people.
Hold on, what 10%? Wait a minute, Dean's first, right? So I want to understand where he's at.
The salary adjustments and the benefits and stuff, that's got to be taken into consideration.
Yeah, no, I know it is.
It's all.
It is. You said Sonny has said that, you know.
Oh, no, that's, if, that's right. Sonny has to give his input, which he was unable to do that. What's included right here is the full impact. The only thing that can happen here is the number can go down.
That's right.
Yeah. It can't go up or whatever. It can only go down for his employees if he decides to.
So of the recommendations that Nancy presented, which ones do you feel you can support, which ones you don't, so understand where you are, Dean? So if you go through her pages, right? You said six people, but none of hers has six people, so I'm not sure.
Well, that's not the six that I would support.
It's the six right here.
Those six people. So the one person below, 16 to 20% below, the three that are 6 to 10% below.
Oh no, those are
pay grades, not people, right?
Sorry.
The number of employees is over on the right.
It's really 21.
I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Dean has gone through like one of the
individually.
And picked out specific people.
But so I'm not asking who, I'm asking how you picked that, so I understand where you get six people.
That
they were the six worst, or they were the lowest paid, or what process do you use to understand?
They weren't the six worst.
Okay.
They need, from what we've asked them to do, they need a salary increase.
Okay. But how did you pick them? So I understand. Not by name, but what process? What were your criteria to say those six versus all the other ones that were below the base as well? Just so I understand. So we understand.
What we have promised to them in the past.
So it was department heads or baseline employees or...
The ones department head, rest are baseline employees.
Okay. So I'm not sure I understand, but okay. Nancy, so your focus, they've already taken out the two things you said that were operational, so now your focus is really on the salary study, right? Okay, fair enough. Emily, where are you at on the whole process? Just so I can get a feel. And I'll be glad to go first if you don't, and Dean, if I put you on the spot, sorry, I'll be glad to tell you where I'm at as well, but... Just so we all understand where we are, right? So, first off...
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
There were a lot of other discussions that went on at the last meeting that you two missed. And a couple of those had to do with expenses we may end up having that are not considered in this budget.
Right.
One, the sewer mess with...
That's not in the general fund.
Beach, but that's right, I know.
We're going to get to the waterfront. We're on the general fund. Okay.
Where's your decaf?
I'm not switching decaf. Sorry.
Okay. The other one is this sales tax business. And I know that, that'll never happen, but never say never.
Oh, okay.
You know, there are things like that that could happen that we don't know, won't know, until further, at least into the summer, if not in the fall. And because of that, I think I'd prefer to delay it until January, until we see what other kinds of expenses and things we had. I think this also came up about the 30,000 for doing the design for Town Hall, not kill it completely, but put it, have it in there
okay.
temporarily, so that if these are not funds that we need, you know, we're not going to have these crisis situations, then we can go on and do them the second half of the year.
The $30,000, so I know there seems to be continued confusion about that. It wasn't for Town Hall, that was for the whole town.
Right.
For all the, yeah.
I mean, all the...
All the well, that's already out, right?
Yeah, it's already out.
It's out right now.
There was confusion, I think, last time. It had to go off appearance of budget.
Yeah,
so
put
so in, your view is the salary study is fine, but delay the implementation of January.
Until January.
So you're okay with all of Nancy and Arlen's recommendations that she just went through? Or no?
Yes,
okay.
As long as Nancy will work with us to determine it. Different type of pay scale for the town.
So that's fixing the pay issue. Scale that's not a monetary issue, but something we
right.
need to fix as well. Okay, fair, got that, right? What about on the operational side? So the non-salary items, are there any concerns in this current budget as presented on the non-salary stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Pagg?
Well, I mean, if I remember correctly, these two employees that are 1%, 5%, they would be they would make the benchmark if we did the COLA with merit.
Maybe so, yeah, okay.
All right. So, I mean, I'm kind of with Dean on this about adjusting the salary for one, two, three, five employees.
No, that
you got to look to the right. That's the number of pay grades. Look to the right. The number of employees is 21.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So then 18 instead of the 21.
Right, okay, I got
but
you.
But I think three of them will meet the benchmark or market.
So that assumes that the other towns do less than we do, right? And we don't know what they're going to do.
Well,
that's a good point.
That,
yeah, I see your point.
Every year these towns are looking at, oh, look, Curie Beach is paying herself people more.
Yeah.
Look, oh, Carolina Beach is paying their more.
That's right.
Never ending cycle.
Yeah. You're always in competition. I agree with that. But so your view of the salary study is for the three employees that are the 1% to 5%. This year,
they'll maybe make it in the.
They're close enough, and then it changes year to year based on what the other towns do versus us, right? So if they do 3%, we do 5%, it catches up, and I see your point, right?
Right.
Okay.
But, wait, may I ask him a question?
Sure.
You're just talking about these three that are 1% to 5%.
They'll make
it.
He
said the other
18. We have one that's 16 to 20% below.
Right. I said he should make.
He said they should be adjusted.
It should be adjusted.
So these three right here, should not.
That's his view.
Yeah. That's just my view. I
okay.
think they'll make it.
I just,
if
sorry,
there's a COLA
no,
in merit, they'll make that. They'll get their 5%.
Right. Yeah, I'm just
they'll be there.
Trying to get the numbers straight in my head. Thank
yeah.
you.
And on the operational side, all the non-salary stuff you're comfortable with in the budget, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sort of with Steve a bit on this, and I'm not exactly sure where Craig is. We talked about it, but
Craig,
I wish he was here.
Are you going to read what he wanted you to, Nancy? Did he email that to you?
Is that for this meeting?
Yes. Yeah, he emailed
that
it.
That wasn't about the salary study.
Well, he knows something about parking. And
he knows
means,
about the parking stuff we have to do tonight.
And that means if we're going to do it, it needs to be adjusted, but it's only a minor adjustment.
That's right. It's, yeah, it's a contingency.
Right.
You're right. It's $500.
Well, I do have something because I let him know what I was doing with talking with the
right.
department heads. He said on the salary study, I definitely think we have areas that need adjustment.
Yeah.
They're working every day.
Choose
younger.
Not
Town
Hall.
Who is it?
Public Works.
Yeah,
I definitely think we have areas that need
it's
adjustment.
Bradley,
also, our grades are out of whack, and we should think about a reset. I think if you have detail, it would be good to show who gets adjusted and when. Have confidence with the right focus and discussion, an equitable solution will be found. A personal focus would be on the leadership areas for people we really do not want to lose to other towns. I did offer my views to Dean and have a chance to offer them today.
Yep.
I expect that they have their own opinions.
Correct.
I'm confident a fair solution will be reached.
Yeah.
We talked last time about sitting down with a person by person.
Yeah.
And we don't need to be doing that. That's
no.
the department.
Okay, that part is already...
Yeah.
That part's been done already,
right? Except for
public works.
And so from my position, I tend to be with Steve and Craig. It's like we do assign, so first we do COLA and merit increases to try to maintain equity as we're going along. And then we periodically review that and do a reset. And this is a reset. And so you reset for a couple of reasons. You can't get people to take the jobs. I don't believe that's our issue right now. You want to protect yourself from losing valuable people. I believe that's something we should always be aware of. And that's what Craig sort of said, right? Is it, as we're looking at this, it's the key players. And I would assume that's sort of how the department has approached it when you guys got them to give your inputs is, hey, these are key players and they're doing a great job. And if you're going to touch people, these are the people you touch, right? I can support the salary adjustments as recommended. We need to talk about the department heads as a council so that we understand the total impact before we can say, yeah, we've got a budget, right? But I think with our contingency at 109, we have room to move stuff. I like that the department heads and staff cut it in half as directed at the last meeting, right? So your recommendation is actually a little deeper than that, but when we add the department heads back in, it's going to go back up. So
it'll be around that. It's actually at 139. That 109 is an addition to it, so to the 30 I originally proposed.
Okay. So. Unless adds. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I need to look over to the right. I'm sorry. 139, right? So from my standpoint, I think for the general fund, because I want us to move on to the water fund and then come back to it at the end for the department heads, but for the general fund, I feel we're in the ballpark. We need to go into closed session after we talk about water and sewer to talk about the department heads and give Arlen direction. But I think all the non-salary stuff, it sounds like we have fairly good consensus. So we're good there. So now we're just in the salary world. In the salary world, until we add in the department heads, I don't think we can make a definitive answer. But it sounds like there's a reasonable position that at least three or more commissioners can support around the salary study, right? Who's in and who's out is what we got to dive into the details a little bit, and I think once we do the department heads, we can get there. Do you guys feel the same way? I mean, do you guys feel we're close enough that we can move on to the water and sewer and we come back to this one?
Yeah.
In a closed session? Because we got to talk about the department heads. And I agree with Nancy, that should be a closed session. And we're allowed to do that in closed session.
And I can go with you and Steve on this side. Yeah. 1-5%.
Okay, so are we good to move to the next budget, next to budgets? I'm asking.
Okay, for
do you feel comfortable? And Nancy, you feel comfortable where we are right now? Okay, closed session. And then in the closed session, we're going to decide here's what we're going to do with the salary study. And there's a couple options in the air, right? One, Dean's kind of proposal is we only do the 6% below us, right? So that's 18 employees. Emily's proposal is we delay it as given as an option to January. And Steve and I are sort of like maybe with Dean on the 18 at the bottom, but we got to look at that. And we got to factor in the department. So that's where we are right now.
Dean was really with six people.
Yeah, I don't know. He's got to, yeah, when we get in there, we're going to talk about
there's
six
that glare when you look at
the. Yeah, okay, we got to talk about why.
May or may not be on part of the 18.
Yeah, I'm sure they got to be in the 18 if they're glaring. Okay.
Okay, so any other questions or thoughts on the general fund?
I think a nice job. And then the other thing Emily brought up, just so I understand, right? So the sales tax thing, even though they're talking about 2019, right?
Right.
Okay. I just wonder if it had changed and Emily heard something that I hadn't, but right now all they're talking about, the earliest it would impact is 2019.
Right. And as I mentioned, with that type of loss of revenue, we only have one way to make it up.
Oh, yeah.
One and only.
Yeah.
And right
that's
now,
right.
The way everything is right now.
I understand the only way to make it up. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I understand.
It would be like 6 cents.
Because it's our second biggest revenue, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And
all the rest of them after that don't add up to that one.
I really hate to say this, and I hope it doesn't happen, but if for some reason that were to pass, we might decide not to pursue the salary thing at all. Because of
I don't know that I would disagree.
Because
with
of
I,
something we're going to have to be paying.
Okay, so
to keep our to keep.
So that's like saying taxes. That's like saying if my wife loses her job, I'm going to not pay my house payment. I disagree with that. Yeah, it is. They're totally different issues.
I I don't think so. This is adding a significant amount year after year after year. And if we're looking at having to have a 25% increase in property taxes to take this off the table completely, may help to lower that a little bit.
Okay, I hear you. I'm just saying my view and yours are different, which is okay. That's why there's five of us. Okay.
There also is some other legislation that was proposed, but it really doesn't help us a lot, which is a quarter cent local sales tax.
Right. Yeah.
You know, for us, it wouldn't do much for us. It would be something, but...
Right, every little bit, but, right. Yeah.
But, again, that's just a recent proposal. So.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot more in the next year or two, because all the towns are puking all over this loss. Right. We're not the only ones that... Yeah. I mean, we think it's bad. You go into some of the smaller towns,
right.
It's huge, right? Or even the bigger towns. I can't believe the big towns, too. Charlotte, I don't know how many millions of dollars they were losing that, but
and they also lost a privilege license rather than...
Right. That's right. And they were charging a lot, not like us.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're ready to move on to water and sewer. I guess the biggest thing here, before I even go into all the different scenarios, which basically are exactly the same as what we did with the general fund.
Yep. Yeah.
But the biggest change for water and sewer is an increase of proposed increase of 25% to the monthly minimums. And that's what's factored in.
Yeah, I understand. I wasn't here the first time. I'm concerned about that one.
When I first worked through everything, we were $200,000 to $300,000 short.
That's right, because of the change in the sewer and water, both, right? It wasn't just the sewer Carolina Beach.
There's a number of factors.
That's right.
including, decline in usage. I mean, that's been kind of the trend for the last 2 years.
Which is good. We purposely did that when we last set the rates, so okay.
The Air Force Base hasn't gone online with the new buildings yet, have they?
No.
I don't think so.
They're at half the people right now, and they will be this summer. They may get them in so that they can rent the full thing, but then next year they'll go back to half when they tear the other half down. Mm. But they're not online yet.
So, you know, I don't know how much time we want to talk about these different scenarios, but this is the exact same thing, trying to keep operating expenses flat. And again, there's certain things that I had to add back. I mean, it's just, known things, it's just not even feasible to say it could be flat or whatever in some cases. So,
on the water side, Dean, Emily, from y'all's discussions, except for salaries, was there concerns on the water side for what Sonny presented to you?
No.
I mean, I didn't think so. That's why I just wanted to understand. Can we skip through this flat one, then, if you guys are okay with that?
I guess there was anything he mentioned was...
Cool.
Was his, concern that Carolina Beach was trying to do all of this at one time. All of the renovations and everything at one time, and that hopefully somebody would be helping to talk them into.
Yeah. So we talked about the sewer authority, about which ones impact us and not. Some of them are driven legislatively, and we got some of them out. But I think Arlen used what we think they're going to do this year in all his calculations. So.
And the biggest increase isn't even for this year. If they do some of the big projects they're talking about, it's not this year, it's next year is when they're really going to hit.
Right. And it'll be funded over 20 years, but it'll still have... What Sonny's plan is to add the cross connect so we can divert a lot of our flow to our lagoon, and that'll just hose them a little bit.
Right.
Not on purpose, but they'll have to pay more of it than we do.
Right, because besides the costs going up, it's also the percentage of usage by Curie Beach versus Carolina Beach is driving a lot of the increase, though.
Right. And they did a bunch of work in the last 2 years that drove them down. We got to do the same thing now. And the cross connect will let us drive a lot of ours out. So, but from other than that, which is the sewer authority working, Dean and I and Arlen will keep working on that. But I mean, they got to do upgrades to stay in compliance. None of the operational stuff. And then the salary study is the same impact either way.
Right.
So
and that's why, I can do, and I don't want to spend too much, this is taking just reducing operating expenses 5% across the board, and then balancing it with estimated revenue, including the 25% increase.
Right.
This was what I call, you know, Craig's version at the end, where it was reduced the salary adjustment by a half, and then the other thing that came out with that $1,500 was the maintenance.
Right. And it's like 0.2% of the entire budget?
Right.
Something like that, okay.
And then this is the that select, you know, kind of like the last one we were looking at for general fund, the selected one, and it takes out salary adjustment for finance and administration, and it left Sonny's 100% in.
Okay. We're going to talk about the salary. So so go to what you recommend on the water rates. Is that the next one? Right here. So this conceptually, council, is my thoughts on this, and I can go either way, right? So the last time we raised rates, we raised it on the overage. That was targeted so that people could control their spend, right? So if you're my house where you have all these college students come in and blow through the minimum like banshees, you know, maybe I tell them to chill out, or I put a low flow water head on my shower, or I have low flow toilets for when all of them are going off all the time, right? If you do it on the, and the senior citizens on fixed incomes are typically below the minimum, and so they don't get impacted by this, right? So the people that pay the increase are the people that use the water, which conceptually for me is the right way to go for two reasons. One, if they use less water, it's better for the town. And two, because we pay less sewer to Carolina Beach, it does everything. And two, the people that are paying that are like the renters that fill up the houses. If we do it on the minimum, the standard person in Curie Beach, everybody pays the same. If we do it on the overage, the people that are packing these houses in that we're getting all the other complaints about, it, at least they're paying for it, right? The businesses are paying for it if we do it on the overage. The houses that are using the extra are paying for it if we do it on the overage. The houses like mine that have all these college students come in are doing it on the overages, right? But the fixed income senior citizens in town are not getting impacted. So that's why I'm more, if we got to get the money, we should get it from the users, not from just everybody equally.
Correct.
Right? And so I know you did the analysis.
The other part that doing the minimum does is you also have, again, all the people that are non-residents that then on a regular basis.
And so that's the old style. So when we first did this, so the town strategy back in the old days when my grandfather was a public works director was we're going to charge the minimum because most people don't live down here and all these rich people with second houses are going to pay for it. So that was the strategy back then. And for the longest time, that's how the town did it. They never charged for maximum because there were few people living down here full time. They always adjusted the minimums, right? And when I got on council the first time, back in the late 90s, the town was transitioning, right? And it was like, okay, if we don't impact the users, that's what the California model was, and that's why they're in problems now. We then will always continue to need more wells and, you know, use more water because people don't pay for it. It's basically free. I mean, Steve, I think, feels the same way I do, is if you're going to charge for water, it should be, the minimum should let the fixed income person stay, and then if you're using more than that, you pay for it. And I mean, my water bill will go up more than anyone else's, right? So from a personal standpoint, the minimum helps me the best, but I just don't think that's the right way to go.
But there's not enough maximum use.
Is that where we are now? We've got people down?
Yeah, and that's,
okay.
That's what happened.
Lots of conservation.
In fiscal year 13, we raised the those marginal, we want you to go over the minimum by by 50%.
Right.
And that drove, that's not the only reason, but usage has come down.
Right.
I think
okay.
It's also the weather the last 2 years.
So then how is our sewer up but our water's down?
What's the minimum, 3,000 or 2,000?
3,000.
Yeah, so that might be the issue. Is drop the minimum amount to 2,500, and then you get people pushed into the higher rate for overusage for the last 500.
That's right.
Because I wonder, I've never looked at the data, but I wonder how many people are below, you know, well below the minimum.
Well,
Yeah, what's the average on that?
That's, I mean, that's a great question, right? Maybe our minimum's too high.
Right.
Do you have the data where you can do that? Because I don't want you to do huge amounts of rework, but I just think that...
I'd have to see what I could get. I don't want to say for sure, but...
Yeah, right. I know. We haven't looked at the data this way.
But if you, I mean, you know, in essence of time, if you can't find that kind of data, I think you need to consider going to 2,500.
No, 500 gallons is a lot. I bet my granddad,
it's 500 a month. Yeah.
Yeah, I bet he's way less.
The statistics, if you got, you know, how many of our households are one or two people that aren't even meeting 2,500.
Right.
I think you find the breaker, but I don't know. So I don't want to put you on this huge data analysis thing, right? I just think conceptually, as we approach this, and we can do it this year and then fix it the next time, right? But I think conceptually, we should be making sure the people that are using it are getting charged, not all these fixed income people that are not anywhere close to whatever our minimum was, right? When you adjust the minimum, you punish everyone equally, and that's not really how you should do something like this. Just philosophically. They don't know. Our water's so cheap, no one does. That's the other problem, is our water's so cheap that no one knows anything.
When you look at the, it's that environmental finance unit that from school government has that whole calculator thing you can do.
Yeah, yeah.
We are always in the green as affordable in comparison.
Oh,
to
yeah.
I know it's 56 bucks a watt.
Yeah, mine's like 65 or 70. No, actually, it might be like 85. Because, and that's what I'm saying, if you raise it on the high side, because I know there's no month I'm not over the minimum. With all those kids
even
that come
that,
in.
If you're looking at your total, that also includes your stormwater.
Yeah.
Your garbage, your recycle.
Yeah, I understand. So, I mean, so your proposal is to...
That was a starting point, and I tried to take into account what we heard at the sewer authority meeting.
That's right, exactly.
I also tried to look at some of those projections, which I know are just that, projections I did for 5 years, or, you know, 5 years out, trying to think about that. And also looked where we were after, you know, looked at usage, what the trends have been with our usage, and combined all that into this. Now, I also didn't have this last time, but threw this out. Well, what if you didn't do 25%? What if you did something other than, just that, again, as information, I know I just threw this together very quickly.
Yeah, I see what you did, yeah.
But, you know, in the middle, you see what the total impact on a monthly bill for a 10% increase for a resident would be at $370 a month versus the 25%, you know. And below that, what the estimated increase in revenue would be for a year based on the different increases. Just threw that out there for information. I mean, I could do whatever. You know, we'd have to look at what, if we were to raise those incremental rates, us whatever percent
right.
that may be, what it's actually going to bring in.
Yeah. And so that's where I'm sort of asking is, can you do this and is it reasonable to ask you to do it right or just change it? From my standpoint, you got to close the budget, right? It sounds like council, with the exception of salaries, comfortable with all the spend sides and house on the revenue side, right? That's where the real discussion is, right? Where we're on revenue side. And for me, I just think that for a service that the individual could control, he has some control over, you should make the payment so that he exercises the control. If you just raise the minimum, no one has any incentive to do anything different, right? They just don't. And the poor senior citizen, you know, I think of my granddad, but there's a lot of them still down here that's on a fixed income, those are the guys that get hammered. The rental property that's blowing through the water because they got 30 people there, cool. The minimum, awesome. Because, you know, I'm using 6,000 gallons a month, and basically I just increased it by $9 instead of about $30 a month because of all the excess usage or whatever it ended up being. That's where I sort of just had a little issue with this.
Well, that's, I mean, I would support if you lowered the minimum to 2,500 and did a 25% increase.
And did both? To the minimum? So you
lower the minimum to 2,500 gallons for the base rate, which is $13.
And then increase the overage.
Increase the overage by 25%.
Okay. And we, well, Arlen's point is he just doesn't know if that gives us the right amount of money. His issue is he's got to balance the budget, right?
Well, I understand that, but I don't want to hose the seniors.
Yeah, yeah. And so without the data, so I'm with Steve. What I would propose is if we have the data so you can figure this out without doing a research project, right? If we lower the minimum to 25%, how much will we have to increase the overage fee to cover your number?
Well, he's going to pick up 500 gallons.
Yeah, at an overage fee. I don't know what the overage fee for that five. Right, so for all those people, right?
So how much water do you use?
Well, it's just, it becomes a math exercise, but he's got to have the data, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think, Arlen, if you can tell us how hard it is to answer that question, I'm with Steve.
Right. Well, I have to see if I can actually extract that.
That's
I mean,
right.
So I can't even answer it right at the moment.
Yeah, no, I understand.
I mean, do you know 10 senior citizens right off?
Yeah.
I mean, can I go in there and ask Denise what they're using?
I just asked her.
Oh, you did? All right. I mean, she don't have to look at all 2,100 customers.
Yeah,
right.
We had something, I think there's something available where we can get usage, but I just don't remember.
That's right.
What detail?
That's right. Yeah, and the billing system is in there, but can you get it out? That's always the issue with data. I'm with you, right? I mean, that's always the problem. But just for me, conceptually,
the thing is that there's no guarantee for the revenue.
Well, there's no guarantee. You're right. This does guarantee it, but this assumes all this overage spend is still in there too. So he's making assumptions on all the overage spend already.
Right. I kept that flat. This guarantees the increase amount. This guarantee, the amount that I listed there as the increase in revenue, basically is guaranteed.
No, because if everyone reduces their overage. No.
Well, and I just related to these, but now if somebody reduces their usage some, that could bring down
the total amount.
The amount from over here.
That's
I'm
right.
just saying this
That's
would
right.
actually.
Yeah, on minimums, I agree with it. That's right, on minimums, right? So you've got the amount for minimums and the overage.
Right.
And the amount for minimums will go up. You don't know what will happen with overage.
Right, exactly.
You just don't know.
Right.
I think it won't change because there's no reason for it to change. I'm still paying the same amount for overages, right?
I mean, we did see a reduction, like I said, when we raised it last time.
Don't use more than
2,500. Her, probably. Dean, I bet, doesn't use 2,500. Steve and I do because we got young kids. Craig's probably on the bubble, I bet, although I'm not sure. And Dennis,
I have three bathrooms, and there's three people in my house.
That's right.
And I do not have enough bathrooms.
That's right. See, there you go. Exactly right. So, I mean, you know.
But are they flushing the whole
time? And I bet Tom, he doesn't know, but I bet he's probably close to, I don't know where the 2,500 versus 3,000 breaks over. That was Arlen's point. So, I mean, if you can give us the info. If not, I can support this because you got to close the water sewer, and sounds like council was supportive of what the requests were, which I am.
Well, what I'm showing you, you could do something other than 25%, and that's why I just threw out.
Well, but then you got to cut out some stuff, right?
Well, one thing I did was, again, I was trying to plan for the future and build up reserves a little bit because we really don't have a lot in water and sewer.
Right.
And one other thing that's in here, it's like a separate budget ordinance, but there's also two capital projects.
Right.
One water line replacement, so breaking that out as a separate thing. And stormwater, also a separate capital project.
Well, this is stormwater.
No, but I'm just saying there are two other things outside of the normal budget ordinance that we're going to be doing, too. But what I did was by raising that rate to 20, increasing it to 25%, also set aside a little bit more money kind of like as a reserve.
So you could reduce the reserve is what you're saying.
Yes. Does it have to be 25%? No, it does not have to be 25%.
Okay.
What does it have to be?
We can't answer that question. We could probably go down.
So what's the lowest you would recommend without causing us problems, I guess, is the real answer, right?
Right.
20%.
Yeah, that's what I would think. Maybe 15 or something.
We could probably go down to about 15%. I know I didn't put that number up
that's
there.
Fine.
I just selected
a couple
things.
But it's in between those two.
But probably in that 15% range.
So
but if
you
do that, you don't lower your minimum, the next year you'll be looking at another increase.
Yeah.
We'll have to see. You know, that's a possibility.
Well, unless we redirect a lot of flow to our lagoon and suddenly they got to give us $30,000 or $50,000 next year from Carolina Beach when we reconcile. That changes every year. It swings around. So this one, we have to make sure we build for the future and pay for what we've got to do for that year. And then you adjust the water rates. But I think, one, our citizens recognize their water rates are good. And I think we can easily communicate this is why, right? We have reasonable, we have good reasons on why we're changing this. I just think that if you can get the data, I would prefer us to do it so that the high users are the ones that are paying. I just think that that's the right way to get it.
And I agree
we have the water line replacement project, which is some estimated about $500,000.
Yeah.
We're gonna find we need to finance the bulk of that.
Right.
That's gonna add also to our operating cost that going forward, you know, at least $80,000 probably a year.
Yeah. But if we don't do it, you're pouring water in the ground.
No, I'm not saying not to do it, Mike. I'm throwing that out because as we're talking about how you know, operating costs increase, you know, that's one that's going to come that we have no control over.
So. Yeah.
And I will tell you, more people get upset when you increase the water bill than you do the taxes. You will hear about it. So that's
okay.
To do it. Yeah.
But when you say more people, it's like 15, right? So 15 out of 1,500 or actually out of 2,000, right? So out of 2,000 accounts, let's say 20 of them. So 1% complaint. If you can get anything where 99% of the people don't complain, you're doing really, really good.
We never get complaints about tax increase, but when we hear it in the boardroom.
That's because they don't see it. That's because they all escrow and they don't know it. They don't pay that.
It's a one-time a year thing. This is 12%.
Yeah, the complaint I get is more about sewer than about water. And why is sewer so much higher than water? Because they don't understand what's going on over there.
Well, you can tell them because you just pump the water out of the ground and sewer, you actually got to treat before you can put it back in the environment.
Well,
or they call me, I'll be glad to tell
them. If they're watering their lawn, they don't understand why they have to pay.
Well,
was
the spider went down a little hole. What was that thing somebody used to
say? Exactly right. Exactly right. So it sounds like council is inconsistent on water and sewer. The request to staff is, can you look at, if we went to 2,500 minimum, what the overage change will be to get the same revenue?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
In addition to, okay, that so that's one possibility. If that doesn't look good, then looking at somewhere in like, 15% increase to the minimum would do? I mean, I'm just trying to think of different things
I think council will support an increase to do the revenue projections you want. We're just asking you to look at a different way to do
right.
it.
Yeah,
can't do that, council, you know, Emily and I are around the 20 to 25%. We'll figure out the exact one based on your final. This is a recommendation to put us in the right place. I don't think, unless Dean, you're somewhere different, I don't think anyone on council has a concern with making the water and sewer fund whole.
Right. Well, I think legally we have to.
That's right. Exactly right. That's why we understand. That's why we don't have a concern.
Right.
And we understand Nancy will get some complaints. So, you know, you can give my phone number. I'll be glad to talk to
you.
Whatever. Or you'll get some complaints. That's fine. I'll be glad to talk to people about it. No. I'll have them walk out to the water sewer and I'll take them to Carolina Beach if they really want to go to the
that
sewer.
That wasn't the point. The point is that that's something that people
okay.
They get to come into town hall, they pay the water bill and all that. So that, they get to have a one-on-one.
That's it. Okay.
But we have to do, I mean, as we know, we have to do something. But
that's
you know,
right.
Do the
I
best
agree.
They can. The time, look at this kind of approach and what it would do.
Yeah.
And again, I have.
But we wanted to close. If you can bring us two possibilities, we can choose one of them, and we don't have a problem with that. Okay. So are we good on water and sewer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we go to the final one? Because I have inputs to that one that no one will really like. Right?
The final one for
stormwater.
Stormwater.
Is that next? Over.
Yes.
Okay. And again, I don't want to waste all the time going through. This is the only scenario I didn't do was that one where we do selective adjustments, and the reason being because there's only two employees in here, and they're both public
works.
Yeah,
that's fine. Yeah, no,
so,
that's fine.
No. This is the keeping flat.
We had, except for salary, where we had on stormwater. So
stormwater,
we're
okay.
We didn't put anything in for Sandman.
Well, that's because I have no estimate.
That's right. I didn't give you any inputs. That's because they don't have a revenue.
And I still have to look at and get information from the school government. Since that was a stormwater fee, can we use it I have to actually know what the real intention.
We need it. That's right.
Right.
The intention is to fix the stormwater issue, so you on private property.
Right. That may be the sticking point.
Well, I just want the answer, right? So the issue for me is tonight at council, we're adding to the agenda to talk about. It's not very much money, right? It's 3 hours worth of work for three of Sonny's guys. So
okay, that's what I didn't know. I had no clue whether we talked about
it. I talked to Sonny yesterday, and he went and looked at it. The bigger concern is the legal aspect on the easement. The easement, because Sonny's a little concerned. He needs to know how big the easement is, because with the backhoe, he's not sure if it's not big enough he can get in there without damaging the property. So we got to work through that issue, but. The financial thing that we're going to talk about tonight at council is very small. It's 3 hours of work in our backhoe, right? It's more of a legal issue to keep us out of trouble. The longer term issue is one, the homeowner association doesn't have a final cost, and we working through do not have a final, here's what we would all agree to, right? But I would like us to at least have a placeholder. If your budget doesn't recommend changing the stormwater fees, which it doesn't, right? They don't have to be done. So if we added that after this budget closes, we could then adjust the stormwater fees to fix it, assuming the league says we can spend the money that way, right?
Right.
Because we can do this off budget cycle.
Well, exactly. Well, let me back up just so I'm clear on this. So it would be, what's even a rough guess of what you're talking about? What would actually have to come out of this fund? I mean, and I'm not holding you to that. I mean, a rough guess from...
No idea, right? So the project, the last I heard, and Tom's here, was $250,000. The town has not signed up for any of that. We've talked about in-kind work, which is then just labor and stuff, right? So it could be very minimal, or it could, because there's... We haven't got there, right? So they haven't got a firm fee. Once they get there from the engineer, then it's here's the work that the homeowner association requests the town to consider. Then we have to look at that work, and Sonny has to figure out how much that work costs, and then say, what's the right stuff for the town to be in? At the same time, you know, we have to get the homeowners association and the town to agree on what's the path forward, right? So if we do this work, what does the town get for it?
Right.
So I'm fine with passing the budget, and then once we get that, coming back to council, if council's okay, and looking at the stormwater fee to adjust it to make it whole, right?
Well, let me just go ahead and sit here.
Do you guys understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, right? The municipality won't let us do that.
Enterprise funds, this is an enterprise
fund? It's not an enterprise fund.
Yeah, if they won't let us do that,
well, then we got to talk about the contingency.
Maybe we could do it, and then.
Well, let's back up.
Let's slow down for a second.
You've got to approach them with the idea that this is a one-time solution to solve a problem.
Right.
It's not ongoing.
Right.
Ongoing, they'll probably tell you no.
Right.
And that's what I wanted to know, that we're talking about a one-time thing.
So we're talking about two different issues. I would not say that we've reached agreement on either one. But I think for the budget, what I would say is you should ask the league for a one-time thing, and we'll talk about the other one separate. If we go back to them separately, we'll go back to them separately, because they're two separate issues, right?
So
to unwind the knot, you know, in the end, I may be coming to council, Dean and I may be coming to council with, look, here's what Beachwalk will agree to, and these are the things the towns need to do. Can we do that or not? But I know one of them will be participating in fixing the issue. That's for sure, right? The other one, I don't think we've got there. Would you agree, Tom? That's sort of where we're at? From your position or no?
Well, I'll speak for myself.
Okay, sir.
I'm one of the two people that speaks for Beachwalk in the negotiations that we're having. There are two separate problems. One of them has to do with the ordinary things that relate to our ponds. For example, the chutes that go into our ponds. And that's an ordinary item as far as we're concerned, because when they fail and the town has installed them and they're coming off the public street, we don't see a problem with that. And as far as what David's talking about tonight, the town has a direct benefit because it helps the town's property on Sandman to do the work that we've asked for the town to do. So it's not as if it's on private property with no benefit to the town. It directly benefits the town. Secondly, we've taken a look at that, and we think we have plenty of authority to give you a temporary easement that Andy Canutis had talked about the last time we met. So I think we can work that out. That's separate from the issue of the ordinary strain on our system, who pays for it. And from my point of view, that's more an issue that we have with Curie Dunes. And the problem the town has is that it's got an agreement to help Curie Dunes.
Right.
So it's indirectly affecting the town, but
right.
If but that helps.
But I think for the budget, right, what I would say is we have an issue, it's not captured well enough to put in the budget process.
Exactly.
But once we capture it, we will come to town, and at that time, we may want to review the stormwater fee if the League of Governments will allow us to use that as the way to pay for it.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
fee we can change any time during the course of the year.
Right.
There are certain things, tax rate we can't change, but
that's right.
We can.
Right.
But the reason I threw this up here, because this all ties together with the stormwater fund. We have built the stormwater fund up significantly in the last couple of years.
That's right.
In preparation for, in particular, these
That's
types
right.
of projects. What I'm recommending in this budget right now for stormwater is to use $275,000 of the fund balance towards this project.
Right. Yeah, so,
now, that's about 30,
so you don't finance the whole thing. That's
right.
exactly
That's
right.
about 30% of the balance. Now, if we had to come up with another 250,
right.
whatever the
yeah.
number may be, that has to come from fund balance also.
Right.
So it may need to rethink whether we want to use the entire 275 for this project out of fund.
And balance. So this project won't kick off until the fall, I assume, right? We don't do
most likely.
Yeah, we don't do stormwater
right.
projects in the middle of the summer.
Right. You're correct.
Right. So we'll have time to figure that out.
Right. We have some flexibility.
And so kind of my input to the council is, if you're comfortable with this budget, we leave it, recognize we may come back after we know more in the next 3 months or so, right? That's about the time frame on how we want to move forward with the beach walk issue, the Sandman property issue, right? Because the other thing is, if the agreement has us sell some of those lots, there's money that if the stormwater fund can't do it, some of that money could be used to pay for the work, potentially.
Correct.
Right. Okay. So more to come. That one's tonight. We'll talk about it a little bit. It's really for one specific work thing that we don't have the temporary easement yet. You haven't seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay. Okay.
But again, this fund is working the way it's supposed in regard
yeah.
to what our plan was.
That's right. It's good. Good. Okay.
So I do. Denise this is what I couldn't remember what kind of reporting we had. So
right.
I think I have something I can work with here that'll kind of decipher some of this. But I may have something that may be able to get me some numbers to look at if we reduce it to 2,500 gallons. And I guess what I can do is I'll try to work something up and I'll send it to all of you. And if I can then get some kind of consensus. I mean, can I do that? We can do it like that, and that's what I would then build into.
How long will it take you to get it?
Well, I got to figure out what I actually have here
right.
first of all.
Yeah.
And how,
I mean, you can't get it and give it to us tonight, no?
Maybe. Maybe I can.
That would be the thing. Yeah. So I think the issue is. So I think. Let me restate, and you guys tell me if I got this right. Council as a group, or at least the four of us, Craig's not here, is comfortable that we're going to do something with water sewer
right,
rates, right?
right?
Mm-hmm. We've given staff guidance to review doing it a different way, right? Lowering the minimum and seeing what you have to change the overage to get the same amount of revenue. We you can communicate that to us, and then we over email can tell you which one we like, and if you've got three that like it, we can copy each other, but...
Well, if I can, I'll try to give you something tonight.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm not going to guarantee that based on what's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I don't know for that issue.
This doesn't look like.
Well, I used this report now. I'm thinking about it once before. I'm going to have to get it in a different way or whatever.
Yeah,
so it's.
Yeah, yeah. So, I How much discussion do we need once he's given us, here's the two options, we're just going to pick one, right? Do you need lots of discussion on that? I don't think we do. You can do it over email.
Okay.
Because all you need is guidance on how to modify the revenue.
Right.
And then you're going to close the budget. Okay, we got that. Right? It's just which one.
Right.
Again, will you respond to the email?
Maybe. If you give me crap, maybe
that's not.
Not
always a good communication.
Yeah, okay. Well, you can text me then. I'll respond to text.
I'll try to get you something for tonight. But, okay. But I just don't know if that's...
Yeah, no, that's fair. Out, so. Okay, so is that it? So the only issue we have outstanding for the budget is the salary discussion,
which again,
including
impacts
departments.
All the,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Impacts all the funds. So.
So I make the motion we take a 10-minute break and then go into closed session to discuss the department heads. Then we come back and finish the salary discussion.
And I just want to make sure everybody's okay with the other smaller funds that were on the summary that I put in here, like the PAL bill, which is pretty straightforward.
Yep.
SURF fund, which is an estimate based on, you know, building activity. And then, you know, asset forfeiture is kind of its own kind of restricted fund, and that's unique or whatever. Right. So work with Dennis on that one. So
if the rest of council is, I am.
Yeah.
I mean, do you guys need us to get, we can go over them if you guys feel like you need to, but those three funds.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure before.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. Don't let me jump over stuff.
Let's take that recess and go to the closed session.
Well, there's a motion on the floor. Yeah.
Yeah, make a motion for 10 minutes. Now, I guess we got to come out.
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Cool.
Hang on, I'm going to put the parking lot there.